Welcome to the Scuff Podcast, where we talk about U.S. soccer.
Hey, everybody. We're about 24 hours past the 1-1 draw with Wales. There are still pieces to pick up, and we play England in 3 days. And lots of other stuff has happened in the world of soccer. But first, let's enjoy a bit more what was an absolutely lovely goal from Tim Weah. First, the call in French.
Par les Américains. Moussa avec Sargent qui s'est retourné, qui a pu servir Pulisic. L'appel de Timothy Weah, il est servi. Weah dans la surface. Weah pour marquer. Magnifique attaque américaine. À la conclusion, l'attaquant de Ligue 1, Timothy Weah, le Lillois. Les Américains sont devant. 1-0.
Now I'll play the one in Spanish real quick.
Estados Unidos es peligroso.
Here's a quick one in Portuguese.
Chegou o primeiro defesa norte-americana. Chegamos já aos 10 minutos finais do tempo complementar da primeira parte. Pulisic. Pulisic, atenção, Timothy Weah! Categoria Estados Unidos.
That was a great goal, wasn't it? We gotta keep enjoying it.
Go ahead and play the sound, Bills.
I'm proud and excited to watch my son, Tim Weah.
That's George, his father.
Greg, how you feeling?
How am I feeling about all of those audio clips we just heard?
Well, first of all, are you proud and excited?
I am very proud and I'm very excited. And was it the French call, the Magnifique? That's Magnifique American?
Yeah.
That is something else. And I feel like we need to harness that clip for constant use over the next 7 to 8 days.
Magnificent American attack is what he said. I believe. What were you going to say, Waki?
Well, I was thinking you were going to then play the English one so we could compare and see, you know, what direction we need to move in.
Ooh, I can play a little bit of it's not English, it's American. But I can play it real quick.
Oh yeah, American.
Yeah, let's play.
I could just listen to those all day. We'll just do all of the languages. I don't want to.
Well, the American one is the least exciting. I don't know, maybe it's just familiarity breeds contempt. But here it is.
Moussa, Sargent, Pulisic on the run. Pulisic has Weah. Pulisic rolls it in. Tim Weah!
All right, that's good. That's good, right? That would imagine how good that would sound in French.
Yeah, it sounds better in French. I think we've established
that's the disadvantage.
That.
I think that's the disadvantage.
I just think maybe. I don't know, the speakers of these other languages have a greater handle on their language than we do in our like sports commentating culture. You know what I'm saying?
My thought is, you know, the real masters of play-by-play and color commentary in American sports, well, I mean, the real legends in that vocation are baseball commentators. You know, like Jack Buck and
right.
Harry Carey.
Vin. You can't leave out Vin.
Vin Scully, yeah, I guess. The Dodgers, whatever.
Yeah, but we can't compare there because I don't think any of us have a good familiarity with French baseball announcers. What if the French baseball announcers are doing it even better than Harry and Vin and Jack?
Man,
like, I think that's possible. Yeah. It's at least possible.
That would be discouraging to find out.
I bet the Venezuelan baseball broadcasters do it better than the American ones. I don't know. Let's try to pick up a few pieces from yesterday. The Gio health question. Where do you stand on the health of Gio Reyna?
Well, my sense is he's not healthy, which I dislike. Is that what you meant by stance?
Yeah, well, you know, people are saying, you know, there's a fair number of people who are saying because Gio said he was 100% healthy, he said, I'm 100% as reported by Jeff Carlisle. Therefore, it's a cover up and Berhalter decided not to play him. And
that doesn't make any sense.
Greg Velasquez, you've been in the trenches out there. What do you?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it totally doesn't make sense. It is quite literally impossible to believe I mean, Reyna and Morris have both been available for the U.S. At the same time in the last 6 months. The last World Cup qualifying window, I think Reyna came on in the 60th minute in the Azteca, and Morris came on in like the 86th. Reyna came on at halftime of the Panama game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Reyna has very clearly been well ahead of Jordan Morris, in large part because Gio Reyna is much, much better at soccer than Jordan Morris. And in basically all facets of the game. So yes, I mean, I don't think that there's really any question in my mind that this decision was not a soccer decision.
I thought CG Salerno on the Discord put it nicely. He said, yeah, highly unlikely that there's a clear black and white answer regarding Gio's health. Most plausible scenario for me is that Greg thought he was at significant risk to aggravate his hamstring if he played. And also thought that Acosta and Morris were acceptable options given the opponent and game state. And I guess that's where you could disagree with Berhalter. But
when you're looking at it, it's like, okay, he didn't start. So right off the rip, that I feel like that's telling you that he's not, or somebody believes, whether it's Greg, the training staff, whoever, that he's not at 100%. Because otherwise, that man would be starting.
He tweaked it in the training exercise or scrimmage on Thursday, right? That's what it...
I think that's a theory. Is that confirmed?
I think Greg said it. That's when Gio initially felt the tightness. That's the term they're using, tightness.
The tightness, that's what it was.
But they capitalized the and tightness, like it's coming to theaters this fall.
A thought that occurred to me this morning is, what if we had just moved Sargent over to play on the wing late in that game? Would that have been better than bringing Jordan Morris on? Did it even matter by the time Jordan Morris came on? Bring in Wright or Ferreira, but Weah and Pulisic were totally gassed. Move Sargent over to Weah's spot, maybe.
I mean, I'll just light the whole thing on fire right now and say, if anything, I just feel like we should have brought Jordan Morris on sooner. like I'm sorry, but like a fresh body is what we needed. Jordan Morris is a big drop off from a healthy, fully 100% energy Tim Weah. But that's not what we had out on the field. We had like could barely walk Tim Weah. And so at that point, it's like at 70 minutes, like we probably should have brought on a new body. And if Jordan Morris is the only option we have on the bench, then I think that's what we needed to do. The only other wrinkle I could have seen would have been bring Luca De La Torre on in center midfield and move Aronson out to the wing.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know how fit Luca is. We know he's not fully fit either. So it was kind of this, we're working with incomplete information, but I don't think we needed to like go out of our way to not have Jordan Morris go on the field. But I feel like that's sort of the, almost like a baked in assumption in the conversation.
I mean, I'm not sure I agree that we shouldn't try to go out of our way to keep Jordan Morris off the field. Like, I kind of think we should. I don't think he's very good, but.
So I agree with that. I think, you know, one of the things we were saying as the periphery of the roster was being dissected to death was that if we have like an injury, like to Gio Reyna where he's not available, then the next step is to run Weah and Pulisic and Aronson in those spots until their legs fall off. But that's basically what we did. We ran them until their legs fell off at the 70 minute mark, and then we left them in for an additional 18 minutes. So it was kind of nuts that, you know, we were still relying on those players into the 88th minute when they clearly had like nothing left in the tank.
Yeah. Still, it was cruel the way we conceded that goal. Cruel that we didn't get 3 points. I feel that more strongly than I did even last night.
Yeah. I just watched the game back today. And I mean, like, Wales was not going to create a goal. They just weren't. We're not, I mean, almost disinterested in doing so. Even in the second half, like they, you know, there's a little bit more threat, and then territorially they had us like under the cosh for a little bit, but there just wasn't going to be anything coming from them. Disappointing.
Yeah, I thought if they were going to get one, it was going to be their giant getting like a header, which he almost did a couple of times, right? And then like a set piece from distance. I didn't think they would ever have the ball in the box long enough to actually draw a penalty kick, so that wasn't on my mind.
Yeah, and also, yeah, that's another thing I saw looking back at it. Yeah, like Kellen. It's a bad look for Kellen. Who I think maybe was actually all right for like the rest of his cameo, but getting beat to the spot by Aaron Ramsey right there on that throw in. No can do.
Not good.
Credit to Wales for really keeping that ball close to that line in several different spots in the lead up though. Well, so many freeze frame photos out there.
Do you think that was an intentional ploy from Wales to bait us into arguing an out of bounds call?
I think it's the type of thing you try to do, expect knowing that you're only going to nail it 3% of the time, and they just hit it out of the park on this one. So
yeah, they got us. They definitely got us. We were still talking about it after the game was over.
Yo, so how does this? So how y'all feeling today after a sleep? You know what I'm saying? Like, how y'all feeling?
Blindly optimistic. Yeah. That's how I'm feeling. I just revert to optimism on this kind of stuff. And that's where I am. I think we could get a result against England. We're going to beat Iran. Things are going to go our way with Wales the last two games.
I see it as a huge, good, because it's just a huge potential upside against England.
Ah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, not a whole lot of downside, because in my head, you know, I got pretty down, you know, after that Wales game. So I was like, well, we're out. It's over. We're already out of, you know, so all that can happen is suddenly we beat England or whatever. And it's like 1,000 Christmases.
Right.
So I feel
right.
good.
Well, it's the thing is, watching the results today, Argentina losing to Saudi Arabia. Mexico in a goalless draw with Poland, Denmark not able to score against Tunisia. And now Australia goes up 1-0 against France and then flashes one over the crossbar before France gets the equalizer. You know, it's a crazy tournament.
Well, I'm worried seeing all those games will keep England alert.
Oh no, they won't off. They won't be paying attention.
Yeah, okay. that's the English spirit.
Well, did you see Gareth Southgate referred to this game as the game of all games?
He did?
The game of games.
Like the King of Kings or something?
Yeah, it was like in the post game of the first game.
He called the USA game the game of all games.
Well, he said it the game. Oh, man, I wish I knew the exact quote. I think he was talking more about how, you know, it's going to be a big spectacle.
This has been underreported, but we invented Brexit. You know what I'm saying? And England was just following our lead. So it makes sense that he sees us as a mountain that needs to be climbed.
We invented Brexit?
I believe
it. It seems like we could invent anything. We're Americans. But I didn't know that.
Look at Watke playing ignorant on like manufabricating like uprisings in other countries.
I've obviously done that. But.
I saw some funny Welsh tweets about Gareth Bale being the greatest British player of all time.
I've seen that conversation a few times.
Really?
A few times. Which I have to say, whatever, he might be. But the fact that he got the man of the match, the Budweiser man of the match, for just, you know, falling over in the box and making a pin. I don't know. It don't sit right with me. It don't sit right with me.
He's not a great player anymore, really. But he was.
Greg, I don't think we got an answer from you, man. How you feeling?
Well, I was going to say I feel better than Argentina fans do. But to be honest, I don't even know if that's the case. Argentina are still pretty likely to go through on account of them being a pretty good soccer team. I don't feel that great, to be honest. And it's not that I think we're like necessarily worse than we were before we saw the Wales game. But it was a really high leverage game to get out of our World Cup group, and winning it would have been huge to accomplish that. and drawing it, for me, like, again, we, you know, we had a big discussion on the pod about the group dynamics. I'm pretty worried about it. I'm not saying we can't beat England. We can't get a get the result against England in a 90 minute soccer game, but we didn't look great attacking against Wales. We didn't create chance after chance, in a game where we were sort of seeded the ball, where we had the ball for long stretches. Hopefully, like, we actually get a little bit better of a setup against England because they might be a little bit more open because they're a better squad than Wales. But no, I don't feel great about our ability to advance from the group. I'm excited to watch the team play in the World Cup still for at least two more games, where we will definitely be alive mathematically. But I don't feel great about our chances to get out, because I just feel like it was just a really high leverage opportunity that went begging. And I think framed that in the passive voice.
Fair. But
how do you feel? How do you feel, Vince?
Hey, look, I'm here for a good time, not for a long time, baby. We go again. We go again. It don't matter. Look, there are issues with what's going on. There's fitness issues. There may or may not be, you know, tactics issues, chance creation issues. I don't care, man. It's the World Cup. I'm going into every match like we're about to beat the other team 10-0. It doesn't matter to me. Like, after the game was over yesterday, I was frazzled. My mind was everywhere. It really killed me. But then once I slept on it and woke up and thought about it all, I'm just happy that I could feel those emotions in the first place. You know, that's the great thing about soccer, is the fact that like when things do go wrong for you, it can be like just the most excruciating gut punch. But at the same time, it makes you feel alive.
I feel like I want to capture that, Vince, for when we announce the 11 on Friday. If McKennie's not available and Dest isn't available and Reyna's not available, because I feel like I'm going to need some kind of a boost. That's the other thing that I worry about, is all of these players who look like they weren't necessarily just exhausted, but might have real injuries, McKennie in particular. And, you know, if Reyna and Luka weren't available, like what that means for our options to start a match on Friday. So I want you to remind me of this, about how it's just a chance for Kellen Acosta to cement his legacy.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Rumors of our great health going into the World Cup, I guess. Turns out it's been exaggerated.
It's been exaggerated as hell.
I don't know why we believe that. There's no...
We were like, everyone's healthy.
Like, sure, that makes sense.
McKennie hadn't played a game in like a month. Luca De La Torre had been ruled out for 4 weeks.
Dest had barely played for the past month.
Dest finally got one half. And we're like, yes, everyone in full.
I didn't even question it.
Clean bill of health.
Hey. But it's okay. They're making miraculous recoveries in these 3 days. They're in hyperbaric chambers, each of them. We're going to be ready to go. We're going to be ready to go. I mean, you know, the beautiful game it gives, it takes away. It gave me that Tim Weah goal, which Bells hit the sound one more time for me.
Yes, sir. Just give me a second.
I'm proud. I'm excited to watch my son, Tim Weah.
And really, it just comes down to that. Every match, I'm proud and excited to watch my son, Tim Weah. So as long as you give me, you tell me there's two more guaranteed opportunities to do that, then I'm up. You know what I'm saying? So let's go.
Yeah.
I guess we're not allowed to say this on this podcast because it's a soccer podcast. It's also just soccer, you know? Doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah. I mean, that too.
Yeah, that's my thing on Twitter.com this morning, is I'm so tired of everybody like talking about, quote, the narrative or the agenda or whatever, you know? It's just soccer. What are you talking about?
Can't we just diagram one play like on a chalkboard in slow motion from eight different angles and talk about that?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we want to do.
Isn't it
and
weird?
You guys want to come in and bring in all this, like,
there's about 1,000 different ways you could do that diagram extreme diagrams. There's a lot of different ways, but it's, I guess everyone just prefers the more sometimes acrimonious version, not involving diagrams.
Diagrams only here from here on out. All diagrams, all the time. Diagrams and George Weah sound bites.
That's the thing that makes like soccer discussion so great. Is like you can literally say anything, quite literally say anything. Like in other sports, that just like isn't the case. They have a lot more like discrete events. You know, like in baseball, you got a pitch, you got a swing. Did you hit the ball? Did you not hit the ball? And soccer is just like you can say. Tim Weah doesn't take on his man too many. Like that's not something that's really that big a part of his game. Somebody else would just be like, "Oh well, I feel like it is a big part of his game." And then you just sit there and look at each other.
Right, it's a blank slate almost in some ways.
There's no vibes based pinch hitters is what you're saying in no. baseball.
No.
Until playoff time, you know.
True that.
And you got vibes.
But yeah, the math is just too damn good in those other sports. You can't, yeah, I mean, to the point where you can't really argue with it. And yeah, to Waki's point, the playoffs is kind of what makes like NBA and baseball in particular. They kind of bring those sports back to life because then the math doesn't really matter as much. But
yeah.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
No, I like that. I like that topic. It is. It does seem to me like soccer. You can kind of say whatever you want about it, and there's a sort of plausible nature to it. The thing is, if you disagree with somebody, either you know don't listen to them, just stop listening to them, or you know disagree with them if you care about them, if you care to like sort of engage with their point of view. But just constantly just ad hominem-ing the shit out of everybody. Is I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I had somebody get mad at me for talking about Christian Pulisic yesterday, and he was like, "Why haven't I went through your tweets? You haven't said anything about Walker Zimmerman." And I was just like, I mean,
you have to give fair time to every player on the team. Yeah. First of all,
I mean, number one, my heart was in my throat for like all those moments leading up to that pin in the first place. So I was like, I was just down. I was just down bad. And like, what do you want me to say? Like, you shouldn't have did it. Like, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Nothing to analyze there.
Yeah. Walker was a bozo yesterday. And he, I don't know what level of banishment should he suffer as a result of that?
I don't think we should banish people. Maybe he shouldn't play in the game. I don't know who is going to.
He probably should.
Yeah. I guess he should, right?
I think you just have to tell him to knock it off.
Knock it off.
Knock it off,
Walker. In the game, we're not banishing you, but you better knock that off.
Yeah, I don't
France
know.
France is
I
up
mean,
2-1, by the way.
Jesus. There you have it. There you have it.
What would you? I don't know. I'm not the biggest CCV guy, but I guess maybe we could put him in there. But yeah, I don't know. It was just a play that he'll want back.
And yeah, he joins the pantheon of Oguchi Onyewu not running into the back of a player for Ghana, Carlos Bocanegra getting all turned around, also against Ghana. 4 years later, we have a history of center backs not quite being able to get through a tournament. I'm just very hopeful that we again can get back to give our center backs a chance to screw up in the knockout round. Like that's where I want our center backs to get us eliminated is in the knockout round.
Facts. And well, another thing about this match, it seems like we left a decent impression on the non-sicko watchers of the World Cup. Just based on my timeline and, you know, people from other walks of life that don't usually pay attention to soccer that tuned in. I'm like, I think we might be gaining some ground. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I want to play a clip from the Alternative Wales podcast. It's here we go.
Because that first half couldn't carry on the second half the way it was.
No,
No, and I think if they had, if it had carried on, I think we, you know, it could have been two or three if they just kept breaking us down. Because like I said, I don't think it was their ability to break us down. It was the fact they didn't let us play. And I think that forced someone like Joe Roden to look worse than he is, because he's the man taking the ball from the goalkeeper, and he just didn't know what to do with it because there was just no space. There was no options.
Yeah, there wasn't much movement either. Was there?
I'm just playing that to say that I think Welsh watchers of the game were impressed with the way the U.S. played in the first half.
Partly they were impressed by our keeping them in.
Yeah. Right? They weren't impressed with our cutting edge in the final third. No.
Which
is kind of important, I'll acknowledge. But that our ability to deny them, you know, any ability to play out.
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
It is. We had it nice and locked down in there. We mostly had like Josh denying any passes to whoever their six was. Was Ampadu, I guess, was the lone person trying to receive the ball from the center backs. But you know, we kind of had it locked down. It was, I don't know. We played all right. And I guess like.
What were you seeing in your timeline from the non-sicko crowd?
I think a lot of people came into the match maybe like apprehensive, or with the with the predetermined notion that we suck or whatever, and like halftime and further you could kind of see the tide turning and everyone was on our side, you know, go USA. And also being like, I don't know, passionately caring about the players and the people on the field, you know, I think it broke past just the shirt.
I think part of it, what it was, because I was watching with some people who don't watch soccer, we were just passing the ball around a lot. So that means that, like, you know, we looked like we knew what we were doing.
Right. And like, seriously though,
yeah,
that's like a big deal. I heard somebody talk about this on some pod, but it was like, yo, when you turn on the U.S. men's national team, you just know that we aren't the best team
in the game. Just, on the field.
Yeah. Even if it's your first soccer game, you're just looking at us and like, you know, you want to poke us with a stick because it's like, bro, what's going on here? You know, we might get, you know, the Thunder bastard from Jermaine Jones or something. But for the most part, yeah, we kind of look like Wales looked, and we flipped it.
Yeah, I watched with a non-sicko, my cousin, and that was basically his thought. He's like, usually when I watch the U.S., we're not the one with the ball. And now we are.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tim Weah scores a goal, which also can't hurt.
Yeah, for some reason, my family was saying that, and I explained to them that Wales just doesn't want the ball right now. I don't know why I even brought that up.
Yeah. Not doing a very good job of spreading the gospel.
Also, just to go back and reference these historic recaps, we got Tim with the Stevie G finish.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, at least we're not goalless like Mexico.
Yeah.
How about Ochoa though?
No, we're not giving any props to
come on,
players of L3 on this podcast. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
We got to give props to Ochoa for that stop. It was great.
Y'all can. I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, you know that. Yeah. I mean, you heard the stadium. But they have 40, 50,000 people in that stadium. Amazing. And they still laid a dud.
I mean.
Like, hey. I'm on Mexico's head for the rest of my life. Like I'm the soccer team, okay? Just to make sure, you know, don't nobody get no bright ideas. I'm just talking about the soccer team. Another Mexico dud didn't score a goal. You'd love to see it.
Greg,
I was just gonna ask Vince, do you think they're getting out? Do you think they're getting out of the group?
Well, they're gonna. Well, the thing is, I feel like Poland and Saudi Arabia is just a guaranteed draw almost. So that gives them 4 points. they would need a, so Mexico would have to beat Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's possible. They can definitely still get out, but I don't know.
We're pulling for Saudi Arabia. It sounds like
they're going to pull up to the stadium though with 50,000 fans. So more than likely they might get out. They might get out, but they going past that? No, nope.
They lack cutting edge themselves. I think it's fair to say. Anything else on Mexico from you guys? I don't really care that much what happens with them. I'm kind of rooting for them, I guess, in a sort of academic way. But
I'm just gonna say I love Mexico, but I'm actually just cheering for chaos in that whole bracket now that Saudi Arabia got that result. So I just want to see the final day of just pure desperation from all four teams.
There we go.
That'd be cool.
Nothing is better on deadline day than like desperate teams, especially when both teams in the same game must score a goal. That is the best scenario in global soccer.
Fair. You don't get it too many times.
Speaking of desperation, they're feeling it in Argentina after that loss to Saudi Arabia. And I think it was even more cruel than, it was very cruel to Argentina. They won the XG battle 10-1. Not including the three goals that were called offside too narrowly in the first half. And then they got the penalty from Messi, and then Saleh Al-Shaheri got an equalizer that brought to mind the Marco Ureña goal for Costa Rica at Red Bull Arena. You guys know what I'm talking about? Probably not.
Yeah, from the 2018 cycle?
Yes, the one where he hit it across Tim Howard. And then Salem Aldosari scored the winner somewhere in like the 50th minute. Let me play the Arabic call because it's making the rounds. It's not, the goal hasn't been scored yet. Still hasn't been scored. Pretty great.
Top tier. In the Arabic calls, when they are they saying Allah?
I don't know. Okay. I wondered the same thing, but I don't know the answer. Does either of you guys know?
I don't, but I never lived in Saudi Arabia.
Sounds to me like they are, but I don't know. You don't. I've never been to a soccer game in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I was about to say you didn't get out and go to one.
It's not really the type of thing that people from outside the country are encouraged to go to.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, let's throw our Arabic speakers in the pantheon of top tier, you know.
Yeah,
play-by-play callers.
That's up there for sure.
Yeah.
I do wonder if it's just more fun when you don't understand what they're saying. It could be that for me a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, it's the repetition, or the repetition of the Allah. If they are saying, I don't know what the hell they're saying. I'm sorry, I don't speak Arabic. But so you get that, you know what I'm saying? You get like when you the goal and the Spanish speaking is just like iconic, and then they might throw a golazo at the end and a whole bunch of words. I don't know.
Yeah, when they showed the replay of the Wea goal on Telemundo, the announcer said, "Que golazo, que jugada," which is, I love when I hear that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to throw a little something on it. Like, we just get a Wea, and just continues on until eternity.
And then John Strong's voice breaks at the end of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's okay. I don't want to hate on him.
So how do y'all feel about, have y'all watched a Landon called game?
Yes.
How you feel about it?
Fine. I'm not as critical of him as most people are.
Okay, fair enough.
Landon Donovan is the all-time leader in both goals scored and assists for the U.S. men's national team.
That's the key. That's what I would. That's all I'm going to say.
This is, compared to doing live play-by-play or color commentary, this is like what we're doing right now is a cakewalk.
Yeah, I can't imagine how hard it is.
Extremely
borderline impossible. I did it once for a NPSL team. I was the color commentator. I was so exhausted and embarrassed by the end of it that I never tried to do it again. It was horrible.
When you think about it, how hard it is may be a reason to hire someone who's done it more.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess.
And one thing to remember is they don't get to watch the game ahead of time. Like they're just watching right.
That's what a lot of people often forget. Yeah.
They're reacting in real time, trying to equalize like how much energy to give and how much space to give the action to breathe. I don't know.
For sure. It's definitely super duper hard. And I was thinking about that when I was watching the video. Y'all see the video of the play-by-play guy at LAFC when he was calling the bell goal? And like the call was just flawless. Like he's going through like every player that's touching the ball as well as like who's marking them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, how do you have that control over the entire soccer pitch of what's going on as it's going on? Like even when I'm watching a USA game at home, sometimes I might get like a player mixed up or something, but bro just did it perfectly.
I'm going to hypothesize that sometimes amphetamines are involved.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. It's hard enough that you might need a boost.
Need a little boost.
Yeah. If I'm sure of anything, it's that Gio Reyna was unavailable yesterday due to fitness and that most color commentators are on amphetamines.
Denmark drew Tunisia, and we're not going to talk about it, I don't think, unless anybody has any thoughts. That was another goalless draw this morning. France, Australia is kind of making up for it this afternoon. After France went up 2-1, Mbappe missed I won't call it a sitter. It was flashed across the six, and he slammed it over the bar. And then Australia hit the bar on a header right after that, or the post. So I guess, you know, the universe is coming to equilibrium there. Do we need to talk about England, Iran? Waki and Vince, you guys haven't had a chance to weigh in on that.
Well, really, I just want to say, everyone's like, you know, basically like writing off Iran for the rest of the tournament. And, you know, I mean, it's not out of the realm possibility that they can get a draw with Wales. So, you know, I would just like maybe pump the brakes on them being just absolutely terrible. And let's see what happens.
Can we talk through, I apologize if you already did this. What are the results we want?
A win against
England and a win against Iran.
Right.
Okay, good. Thank you.
If Wales draws Iran,
is that good or bad? That's my question. What are we?
Then we just, I mean, like, and assuming that England doesn't lose to Wales, then we'll just have to beat Iran, which may or may not be difficult, but I'll take those odds.
The resident math nerds in the Discord, Dope Island, who's running his model, I think just based on ELO ratings, I think his model says that we definitely want a Wales-Iran draw Friday morning. Like, that's a much better outcome for us than either team winning.
Okay. Great.
Fair. Yeah. That makes sense, because if Iran wins, then they just need a draw against us. And that might be difficult. But it doesn't matter. England. Yeah, right, exactly. We're going to beat England, and we're not going to worry about it.
There is no way they're going to be as clinical as they were in that game against Iran. All those goals were so nice.
Very nice. Very nice. I mean, that like Saka's first one was just absolutely ridiculous. Like, if they pull that out against us, then we just gotta tip a hat, because that type of quality is just we're not gonna match it, no. Unfortunately.
Well, we'll get out of that. I mean, if they hit their shots into the same spots on the net that they did against Iran, then it's just more opportunity for Matt Turner to show what he's got.
As far as happy you brought that up.
So, you know, all they're asking for there is, I mean, maybe if they shoot as accurately as they did, then they might escape with a 1-1 draw.
Yo, that's what we need right there. We need, this is Matt Turner's, this is coming out party. This is coming out party on Friday.
Let's go.
Coming. Yep. It is coming. Can't wait.
I'll buy that too. I think the game plan is going to be defend first. I think it'll be kind of like a throwback to the Mexico games. Defend, scrap, especially if McKennie can't go and you have to bring in like Kellen Acosta as the third center mid or Brendan Aaronson, either way. Scrap your faces off. Lockdown defenders. So pull names out of a hat who can be lockdown defenders. If that's CCV, bring him in. Matt Turner is quite good. And we get out of there 1-1 with a late Gio Reyna goal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Reyna starts, like if the, yeah, what that sort of not black and white calculation was for Halter. Couple other things. News came down this morning. Atlanta United hired Garth Lagerwey. Not World Cup related, but pretty interesting. Lagerwey is, I guess, sort of broadly viewed as the best GM in MLS, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, by far and away, I think. As from what I understand, the things that he's able to do as far as, you know, having a grasp on all these complicated roster rules and whatnot, he's like a magician, supposedly.
And
I mean, the success speaks for itself.
Yeah, and a magician is decidedly not what Carlos Bocanegra is. So I wonder what he's up to next.
Yep.
Hey, he won an MLS Cup like his second year on the job. Like, he's got this league figured out.
Fair enough.
It was all downhill after that, though.
And he makes players disappear from U.S. rosters.
He's probably pretty good at his job, too, if we're honest. But,
Who, Carlos?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think he is.
I mean, they definitely landed a great team, and I get, maybe I shouldn't be using the passive voice there, but then they actively torpedoed that team and did not make it, like, in any way, shape, or form better, or even, like, seem to be building towards something better.
And, like, Atlanta's supposed to be one of our, one of our super clubs eventually, or I thought they were like on that trajectory.
No such thing as a super club when you got a single entity.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. But look, man, they're supposed to be one of those ones holding the standard, a standard bearer, mm-hmm. You know, on the level of, you know, Seattle, LAFC has become that. Anybody on the East? NYCFC, of course, Philly, but you know, they've sunken down, but the fact that they've made this pool just shows the sleeping giant that Atlanta United is.
Yeah. They do have a big fan base and a big stadium and all that. So there's, stuff to be leveraged. Waki, you got any kind of closing thoughts?
I do have one. I don't, you know, the studio show on Fox?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in this big open public area on a pier or something, or a boardwalk. And it seems like there's supposed to be a bunch of people hanging around because they do this big wide shot, but it's always just a handful of people milling about. And it's just really, it's starting to bother me.
Go
ahead, Vince. Go ahead. Vince.
Okay. So I was just watching before we hopped on to do this, and they were like zooming out of the studio.
Yeah.
And there was a shot of some Senegalese people like dancing. But then and they, you know, they just had the camera close up shot on them. They were doing their thing. And then for some reason they panned out to a wide view And then it just showed that it was 15 people.
Yeah.
On this big walkway and nobody's there.
Don't do the big pan out.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
It's like they planned it. Like, we're going to have it here. That's going to let us do this big reveal pan out. And then when there's no people there, they didn't adjust it. Or maybe they like it. Maybe they like how the aesthetic of it. But I'm really struggling with it right now and just needed to get that off my chest.
The people are not excited to hang out with Alexi and Carly Lloyd. That's what we can take away from this.
Well, they don't even get to. They should just let people come onto the set. There's few enough people. Let's make this more informal. Just come hang out. Let's make this a weird show. You know?
Yeah, they should.
That's not how it works, unfortunately.
What else? Yep.
Set pieces. If we could get some return on investment from our set piece coach, that would be nice.
Oh yeah, Waki. Somebody wanted you to answer the question: who are our top three set piece takers? This was specifically directed at you.
Me? Chris. What? Yes. Yes. Gio Reyna.
Mm-hmm.
Like a shot.
Could be either one, I think. But I think service into the box is probably the more relevant.
I guess Aronson. I'm just saying people who take them. So I don't know. Reyna, Aronson. I feel like Pulisic isn't really, but
no,
he'll probably be taking some. It would be nice to get a free kick against England. We didn't really get any of that against Wales.
Yeah, I'd say it's Reyna and Acosta, and then there's nobody else, really. That's my opinion.
You know, Ferreira takes his set pieces for FC Dallas. Let's. That's I feel fair. Like it's weird that Ferreira is just told, like, everyone wanted him out of the lineup, and then he didn't play, and then it was like we didn't actually ever pass the ball into our. We barely ever passed the ball into our forward, and it was just never like no one is wondering if maybe Ferreira would have improved our ability to connect and hold on to the ball.
Yeah, I guess I'm guilty of that too.
I'd like to see a way I just do his hard shot at. Go out there and just hit it. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah,
I like the hard shot idea.
He got passed up when he was streaking down the right wing a couple times, or else we might have seen it. And also it brings up another thing. I feel we didn't create much, right? But I feel like there were just multiple opportunities for like wingers and attackers to do something. And they didn't do it. Whether it was like get to the end line, nobody tried to get to the end line. I don't think Tim really had the greatest opportunity to, or else he loves the end line. But we opted for the more traditional cross instead of trying to get to the end line for a cutback, and that was frustrating.
The bad crosses.
Yeah, I will say Pulisic did get to the end line a couple times, and. I mean, he didn't, nothing really came of it, but he did get there.
All right. And also, just one last thing. I talked about it on the call-in show, but Brendan turning around and passing the ball when he has it in the box, one-on-one with somebody. If Wes is hurt, I'll be fine with him starting. And I think he may be able to do a good job, but that was frustrating. Why are you passing the ball?
Yeah, this was when it was 1-1. We're pushing for a goal, or at least, you know, theoretically pushing for a goal.
And you had to see, if you go back and watch it, like his whole body language, it was like he received the ball and just didn't even think about taking this man on.
He didn't want it. He was playing hot potato.
When Tim Weah doesn't get passed to, he doesn't do bad body. You don't see him complain.
No, kind of wish he would.
He's just getting ready for the next run.
Yeah, it's commendable.
Can you imagine the remonstrations from Gio Reyna if he had been passed up in those situations where?
That would be just beautiful.
Oh yeah, that would have been.
He would have fallen face first into the grass.
He would have put on a show for sure.
And you need that balance, don't you? Don't you need one guy doing the Weah and one guy doing the Reyna there in a game?
Yeah. You can't have two. You'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
Hold up just a second.
I'm proud. I'm excited to watch my son, Tim Weah.
As always, eternally. Eternally. Thank you, George, for that gift. That is your son.
Okay. As you have probably noticed, Scuffed is an ad-free podcast. If you'd like to support that and get exclusive episodes, more than 50 this year already, join the Patreon. It's not that expensive, and you get access to the Discord as well. Thanks for listening. We'll see you.